Morning. Today's daf in Sota is Yudalad. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zech and Ishmael Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. We find ourselves on Yigimel Mid Beis, finishing up the first parak this morning. God willing, like all good things coming to an end, the Gada today comes to an end. It's been wonderful since the Mishnah mentioned the concept of Midah Keneged Midah, both in the context of Sota and the context of Shimshon, and also it's true by Midah Tova as well. So it allowed the Gemara the opportunity to go through Shimshon, Yehuda Tamar, Sefer Shmos, the beginning of Sefer Shmos, various episodes, incidents in the Chumash that speak out this idea of Midah Keneged Midah, and it's for the time being, it's been wonderful. It'll come to an end, but we're a little bit behind, so we get a little extra today, a little bonus. We are today on Yigimel Amid Beis, the Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. We're a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. It's at the two dots. Yesterday we described Yosef's premature death. Now, premature, by the way, to us would be wonderful. He died at 110, but he died earlier than the brothers. Why would that be? And the Gemara's explanation is because he was a leader. And with the job description of leader also comes aging. Accelerated aging. Okay, that's what we ended off with yesterday. And V'yosef hurad Mitzrayim. Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim. Amar Rabbi Elazar al tikre hurad ela horid. Shehorid ha-signeine parah migdolasom. What Yosef did with Mitzrayim is he left a lot of people unemployed. Specifically, they have stigninim, the astrologers of Paro. Paro always came along with astrologers. We already discussed at length how they were the ones who told Paro there's somebody's going to be born. I don't even know if it's Jew. We don't even know if it's Egyptian. Anyway, the Paro had a lot of astrologers. So the Gemara points out that when Yosef came down to Mitzrayim, so they lost their job. They lost their job because Yosef was better. Right, he interpreted dreams. He not only interpreted dreams, but gave sage counsel. So it's actually a machlokas. Just as an interesting side note, it's a machlokas of Mefarshim and Chumash between Rashi and Ramban, whether or not when he told them to prepare the next 7 years and then to prepare the next 7 years after that, was that part of the interpretation of the dream, or was that Yosef giving etza? Was that him giving counsel? So machlokas between the Mefarshim. Anyway. Fine. So he caused a lot of unemployment amongst the Afsagninim. Vaykaneh Potiphar Sus Paro, and Potiphar purchased Yosef. Amrav Shekhanu Latzmo. Now the real reason, says the Gemara, is in terms of why Potiphar purchased him is for himself, meaning he wanted him for his own intimate behavior, illicit obviously, intimate behavior, and that's what he wanted. Baal Gavriel Upiro. Upiro, and so Gavriel comes and he castrates Potiphar. Mikarikziv Potiphar losof Potiphera. So the Gemara says that the word Potiphera, you'll see the word Piro Parua, which means that that's what Gavriel did to protect Yosef. Milana Gadol Mimoshe v'chulei. Going back to the point that we made back in the Mishnah. Remember, in the Mishnah we learned that Yosef died. I'm sorry, Yaakov. Start with Yaakov. Yaakov died. Who was responsible for the burial of Yaakov? Yosef. Yosef was the leader of the Jewish people. Yosef dies. Who's responsible for the burial of Yosef? Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the leader. Moshe dies. Now, what's going to happen? Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of it. Vayomer Hashem Elai Rav Lach. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Rav Lach, the Gemara goes on to explain, I'm Rabbi Levi, Barav Biser, Barav Bisruhu. So he was informed with the word Rav, and he informed with the word Rav, and he was informed with the word Rav. Barav Biser, Rav Lachem, Rav Lachem. So he says to them, you are great. A petition by Moshe to Korach and his rebellion not to rebel. Right, you have a lot. There's no reason why you need more. Rav Lach, Rav Lach. And so, giving that's what he said, that's also how he was informed about his ultimate death. Rav Lach, Rav Yesh Lach Uman Yoshua. Another possible explanation is he said Rav from the word Rebbe, meaning from Rav, which is, don't worry, we have someone qualified who's going to take over, reference to Yoshua. Dava Acher, Rav Lach Shelo Yom Ruharav, Kama Kashav Etamit Kama Sarvan. And also, what we don't want people saying is, how difficult the is the Rebbe, and how belligerent is the Talmud. The Kol Kach Lama Tan Debei Rav Yishmael Lefum Gam L'Shechna. And the Gemara gives an expression which the Gemara often does, and that is based on the camel. So that's how you load up the camel. So the tzaddik is able to withstand a lot. So a lot is put on him. Vayomar Lehem Ben Me'av Yisrim Hashana Anochi Hayom. He says that I am 120 today. Shein Tam Lomar Hayom. Now today, in other words, why specifically today? Hayom Alu Yamai Yushnasai. So today is the day I complete my years and my days, meaning it's my birthday. And as we learned earlier in this parak, Zayin Adar. So Zayin Adar was the day of his birth, and also turns into the day of his death. Lam Dechash Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mashlum Shalasem Shal Tzadikim Yom Liyom. So when you're a tzaddik, so you have a life mission. You fulfilled your life mission. So therefore, you live complete years, and you die on the day of your birth. By the way, we also have part of the Masorah that we have, the Gemara doesn't mention it, is that the day of the death of Moshe was Ein Adar, was also Shabbos. If I remember correctly, it's not everyone is in agreement that it's on Shabbos. Some are of the opinion that it was a Friday, but either way, you got to look at the calendar over there at that last year in the Midbar, but either way, Shabbos or Friday. But generally speaking, Shabbos is a presumed day. A lot of the sad ending of Shabbos, right? Tzitzkach Tzedek, right? Rabbi Natam had a minhag not to learn Torah on Shabbos afternoon. The various minhagim about Shabbos afternoon. So it's connected with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu that took place on a Shabbos.
Also completes the year and the week.
Right, maybe right, together, right. No? Yeah, could be. So back to the Gemara. Lo chalatzeis v'lavo. Okay, a description of Moshe now towards the time of his death. He couldn't go out anymore. So my latzeis v'lavo. What exactly does that mean? Ilei my latzeis v'lavo l'mamish. Doesn't mean that at this point in time he was physically finished. Gemara says that's not the pshat. V'aksiv v'Moshe ben me'av esrim shanam b'moso lo nas lecha. Gemara says that the lecha didn't leave him, meaning he was still vibrant. He still had vitality. Additionally, we also know that he went from the plains of Moav to Har Nevo. There were 12 steps over there. And Moshe leaped those 12 steps. So at 120, so he was still nimble. Still had dexterity. So what was failing him at that point in time was his ability to learn. The Shari Chachma that was open to Moshe, that was closing. Moshe and Yeshua went instead by the tent, by the Mishkan. Tana also Shabbos shel diyo zuga haisa nitel rishos mizev nesan lezeh. On that given Shabbos, as far as this pair were concerned, the authority was given from one to the other. I'm reviewed on Malay Mikra Kosovi Yeshalomro, Hecha Moshe Meis, Bechel Kol Shel Reuven. Where did Moshe die? He died in the portion of Reuven. Dechsev Ayah Moshe Maharvos Moav Har Nevo, Unuvo Bechelkosh Reuven. And we know that Nevo is in the Chelik of Reuven, Kaima Dechsev, and we turn Uvene Reuven, Bene Ves Nevo. So we know that Reuven received a portion in Nevo. The Hechan Moshe Kavor Bechelkosh Agad. Now, where was he? That's where he died. Where was he buried? In the Chelik of God. Dechsev Vayare Shis Lo. Okay? Reuven and God. You see the trend? The two who were just outside of Eivor HaYarden. O Mechalkosh Reuven Ad Chelkosh God Kamahave Arba Milin. So the Gemara says, now in terms of the distance from death to the time to the place of burial, so that was 4 mil. Osan Arba Milin Miholicho. So and who transferred him there? Remember, there was nobody there. Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of it. The obvious answer: Malamich Ayah Moshe Muta Bekanfei Shechina Umalach Esher Esarim Tzidkas Hashem Asa Umishpatav Am Yisrael. So okay, so the Shechina was the one responsible. The Malachim were there. They said a pasuk for his eulogy. So Kadosh Baruch Hu does mishpat. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, amen. Then Kadosh Baruch Hu adds on his own pasuk to the eulogy. Mi Yakum Li Im Mireim Mi Yisyetsev Li Im Pawalei Oven. Okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu also adds a pasuk to the eulogy. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that who's going to stand together with me outside of Moshe? Ushmul Amar Mika Chachamu Miyodea Pesher. Pesher Dover. So another version of what the pasuk that was said to eulogize Moshe, who is as wise and who can create Pesher Dover. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chachma Miayin Timtza. Rabbi Yochanan says. Quotes another pasuk. So who's going to have as much wisdom? Rav Nachman Amar Vayamasha Moshe, and Rav Nachman quotes the pasuk Moshe died there. Simeon Amar Vayamasham Moshe Sifer Rabba Yisrael. Another version is that Moshe died there, and he was Sifer Rabba. He was a great scribe of the Jewish people. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Gadol Omer Shneimasamil Al Shneimasamil Keneged Machane Yisrael. The area was 12 by 12 mil, and it was the same size geographically as Machane Yisrael. Baskol Mashmiel V'Omer V'Yamas Moshe. Sifer Rabba D'Yisrael, along comes the Baskol and says that the great scribe of Moshe dies. V'Yeshur Mim L'Omeis Moshe. And then finally, the Gemara presents one final opinion, and that is Moshe didn't die. K'siv Hacha V'Yamas Sham U'K'siv Hasam V'Yisham Im Hashem. Malahalan Omen Imashamish Avkan Omen Imashamish. Okay, it is a little bit difficult. By Yaakov Avinu, we know classically the Gemara says Yaakov L'Omeis, that Yaakov didn't die. At least over there, support for that is the Torah never actually says Vayamas Yaakov. Here, right, Vayigva. Here by Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk says Vayamas Sham. So it's an opinion, meaning obviously it needs to be taken seriously, but it is certainly more difficult to understand how the pasuk can say Vayamas Sham, and meanwhile there's an opinion that says that he did not in fact die. Vayikbar Oso Be'eretz Moav Mul Beis Peor. So where was he buried? So the Torah actually gives some sort of description of where he was buried. So in a valley, in the land of Moab, opposite Beis Peor. Amar Abrachia Siman B'soch Siman. There are signposts, meaning Torah is giving a signpost to find where Moshe was buried. And meanwhile, Ve'afil Hachal Yada Ishes Kvuraso. But meanwhile, nobody knows where he was buried. Right? The Drash of Aran discusses, generally speaking, in terms of Moshe's resume. So the Drash of Aran says that a lot of effort is made so that we don't worship Moshe. Meaning, a lot of the idea over here is that Moshe does not become at all deified. He starts off by saying that first of all, Moshe himself was not a great orator. He had a lisp. He had a stutter. However you want to describe the speech impediment. So in other words, he wasn't this great orator. And then he points out also that when he died, Kadosh Baruch Hu deliberately put him in a position where nobody knew where he was going to die, where he was buried. And again, the basic idea is that we never get to the point of deifying him. I forgot where I saw this, but I saw that by the Haggadah on Pesach, right, Lel Seder. So how many mentions of Moshe are there on Lel Seder in the Haggadah? Yeah. So it's there is one. Right, very good. So we quote the pasuk by Yaz Yashir, right? It says Vayamina Bashamu Moshe Avdal. That's it. That's the only reference in the entire Haggadah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, speaks to this idea of, as great as he was, as important as he was, but at the same time, however, we're not interested in deifying him. Back to the Gemara. We're on the very bottom of your Gimel Amud Beis. Ukvar Shalcha Machus Arisha Eitzel Gistra Shal Beis Pa'or. So Machus Arisha, usually reference to the Romans. So they sent to the local governor of Beis Peor. Har'eino Echa Moshe Kavor. Come on, you're a local. You're a local politician. You know where Moshe is buried. And the Torah says he's here. So could you... We're here. Show us where here is. So Har'eino Echa Moshe Kavor. Amru Lamala Nidmo Lehem Lamata. Lamata Nidmo Lamala. And here's the first optical illusion. At least, certainly, as I can remember, as I can see in the Gemara. But whatever, the first optical illusion. So they're looking up, and meanwhile, as they're looking up, it looks as if it's going down. And they're looking down, and it looks as if it's going up. Now, I don't perfectly understand the visualization over here, but I get the basic idea. In other words, it's an optical optical illusion where they really they can't even see the location for what it really is. Nechugush dekisas. Okay, so they broke up into two groups. Osam shom delamala nidman lamata, lamata nidman lamala. And here we go, right in the middle of this optical illusion, where even though they broke up into two groups, and even though one's looking from what he thinks is looking from a higher perspective, and the one looking from the lower perspective, and meanwhile the impossible, the one looking up is believes that he's actually looking down. The one looking down believes that he's looking up. Etc. So, and that's by design, that the Torah does not want us to know where Moshe was buried. Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chenin, Moshe Rabbeinu, Einu Yodeich and Kavur. Moshe Rabbeinu himself does know where he was buried. Sivach v'lo yada ish es kvuraso. Torah says that the ish did not know where he was buried. And Sivach v'lo yada ish es kvuraso. Ish elokim. And also the other pasuk, which the Gemara doesn't quote, ish Moshe anav mikol adam. Okay. An unusual location to be buried. Okay, we get the basic idea. We don't want to know where he's buried. It's by design. But still, the signposts tell us that it's somewhere near Beis Peor, and that's an unusual place to be buried. Beis Peor, that is the episode of the Benos Mejan, and both the idolatry and the adultery that takes place over there. And it's just, historically, it's a strange place to be buried. Kedei lechaper al maisa peor. And the Gemara says, oh, so the whole reason why he's buried over there is that so that he can provide a kapara. Take a look at Tosis over here. I'm not going to go through it inside. But Tosis brings down a medrash where the medrash speaks to this idea that on the anniversary of the incident of Beis Peor, so there's a kitrug, there's a prosecution against the Jewish people, Moshe defends. Okay, Am Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Chanan, my dichsev. Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichem. Certainly one of the most popular gemaras that are coming up in today's daf. We are right upon now. Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanan quotes another drasha. It's a hemshech of the same ba memra. And the pasuk says that you have to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'chi Hashem lo adam la'alech achar shechina. Now that's just simply impossible. V'alok v'ar nemar ki Hashem lo kecha ish oklahu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is ish, he's fire. In other words, it's unphysical. How are we supposed to follow something which isn't physical? Ela la'alech achar midosav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Follow meaning the midos, the character traits of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to imitate Hashem. Okay? One of the most basic tenets of being a Jew is that Kadosh Baruch Hu behaves a certain way, and we are supposed to emulate that behavior. Mahu ma'bisharim dechsev ayeshem elokim la'adam ulishto kasnos or v'yabishem afatah halbisharim. Kadosh Baruch Hu dresses those who need to be dressed. We need to do so as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu bikur cholim dechsev ayera ayilav Hashem elonei mamrei. He visits the sick. Avraham Avinu is sick. He visits him on the third day of his milah. Afatah bikur cholim. So we also have an obligation to visit the sick. Kadosh Baruch Hu nichem avelim. Kadosh Baruch Hu provides nechama for those that require comfort. Most Avraham should sound familiar. We just saw this in Shabbos. So Kadosh Baruch Hu provides a nechama for Yitzchak. Interesting, the verb used over here in the Torah is Vayivarech Elokim is Yitzchak Beno. Right, the minhag is long gone. We don't know where the minhag went. But the Gemara tells us that when you're at the Beis Avel, so you bench, and there's a special bracha included in the benching, right? And the nusach habracha is actually in the Gemara, right? The Gemara every now and then gives us a nusach habracha, like how to make the bracha, right? By Sheva brachas, so the Gemara gives us a nusach habracha. By Shemona Esrei, the Gemara never gives a nusach habracha. Okay, some things are well understood, and the Gemara doesn't need to do it. And sometimes the Gemara gives a nusach habracha. There is a nusach habracha that we say in the Beis Avel. And for reasons which are kind of mysterious, so we, the Jewish people, don't do it anymore. We don't make the special bracha. But anyway, that could be part of what the Gemara is making reference to over here, when it says, Vayivarcha lekim es Yitzchak beno. Afata nechema anachem aveilim, and you also have to provide nechema. Kadosh Baruch Hu kover meisim dechsev ha'ikbor oso begei, afata kvor meisim. Kadosh Baruch Hu buried, we also have an obligation to bury. We have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kasnos, or as long as we brought it up, what exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu dress Adam and Chava with? Rav Shmuel Chanamar davar habam in or, something that comes from the or, leather. V'charamar davar sha'or nena mimenu, something that the or gets benefit from. Rashi describes this as being linen. Torah begins with Gemilas Chesed. It ends with Gemilas Chesed. Kadosh Baruch Hu dresses Adam and Chava. And Kadosh Baruch Hu buries Moshe. So the beginning of Torah's Chesed, the end of the Torah's Chesed. So, you know, generally speaking, how an essay works. You open up with the central theme. You close with the central theme. The central theme of Torah is Gemilas Chasadim. The Shlosh says over Gematria. The word Gemilas Chasadim is Gematria Torah. Okay, Hedy, I did that for you. I don't normally say Gematrias. Darish Rabbi Simlai Mimnei Ma Nitaveh Moshe Rabbeinu Likanes L'Eretz Yisrael. So, how come Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael? Okay, as we all know, Moshe. Thank you. As we all know, Moshe petitioned the Kadosh Baruch Hu to go into Eretz Yisrael. We also know he wasn't allowed entrance into Eretz Yisrael because of the incident of Mei Meriva. So, why did he want to go into Eretz Yisrael? It is a strange question, right? I admit it's a strange question, but the answer is telling. The answer of the Gemara is v'chil echol mepriyahu tzarich ol isbol mitovahu tzarich. You really think he wants to eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael? You think he wants to enjoy the goodness of Eretz Yisrael, even though in the benching and in the and the bracha achas main shalosh, the alamichya, basically that's what we say. But that's not why Moshe wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Elakach amar Moshe harbei mitzvos nitzav Yisrael ve'ein mekayimei ela beYisrael ela beEretz Yisrael. There's just more mitzvah opportunities in Eretz Yisrael. Things that you can't do outside of Eretz Yisrael. Akanes ani laaretz kedei sheyiskayimu kulan al yadi. So I want to go in because I want to do the mitzvos. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, okay, but let's be honest with each other. So you want to do the mitzvahs because you want the schar mitzvahs. Okay, fine. So you know what? So for attempted mitzvah, I'll give you credit. Okay. That's a lot of pasuk we just read from Sefer Yeshayahu. I didn't translate any of it. The Gemara goes step by step through the pasuk. Laposhim yafgia. Lachena chalek lo berabim. Okay, we're just basically attacking the pasuk phrase by phrase. I'm going to give Moshe a portion. Now, when it says I'm going to give him a portion, what does that mean? What kind of portion? So, the portion of the later generations or the portion of the earlier generations? The assumption the Gemara is making is that the earlier generations got a bigger portion. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises Moshe that you're going to get the same portion that was given to the Avos, a greater portion. Shehina tumim b'torah v'mitzvos. Okay, back to the pasuk. Tachas asher ha'ara lamos nafsho. Shemasa atzmo lemisa. Moshe was ready to die on behalf of the Jewish people. Shenemar v'im ayin machenina. He says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to wipe out the Jewish people. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no. I'm sorry, Moshe says back again. Moshe says back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, no, don't do it. And if you're going to do it, so you're going to erase me as well. Meaning I also don't want to be part of it. He was counted amongst the dead of the desert. Meaning, just like the rest of the Dor HaMidbar died in the desert, hence the term Dor HaMidbar, same thing is true with Moshe. He was able to bear the sin of the Jewish people. He dove into Kadosh Baruch Hu over the Chet HaEgel, successfully. He asked for rachmanis on the sinners of the Jewish people. And when it says pigia at the end of the pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's a reference to tefillah shenemar. And for that, we have a pasuk: ta al tisvala ba'anam azev al tisa ba'adam rina usfila ba'al tifka bi. Okay, so you see that in the context of the pasuk, the word pigia is a reference to tefillah. Hajol lachem mekan lisha. That is the end of the first parak.
It was an interesting comment that Moshe, the reason why we don't find his grave is that Hashem said there's a time not to pray for mercy, and he didn't want us to pray like Jeremiah.
Okay, very good. Okay, we start the second parak of our Masechta, and we enter into the Gemara. When I say back, I mean leaving the world of Agadata and going back to discuss the procedure of the Sota. We have spent some time talking about how we got to this point, meaning what exactly got it to the status of being a sota. Kinui stira, how many witnesses are necessary for the kinui and the stira. The Mishnahs tracked the progress from their local Beis Din to the Beis HaMikdash, and we placed her in front of the Kohen, and so we covered a good amount of the sota, but now there's more to go, and specifically her carbon. The sota brings a very specific carbon, and she brings a mincha, a flower offering, and this mincha offering offered by the sota is very unusual. The Mishnah is about to speak to the unusual nature of the mincha of the sota. Let's begin the first Mishnah of the second parak. Hayam mevis mincha sa b'soch kfifa mitzvahs. She brings her mincha, she brings it in a Egyptian basket. Okay, it's like a palm branch basket, wicker basket. V'nosna yadeha. And what we do is we place the wicker basket in her hand, kedeliyaga, in order to make her tired. The Gemara is going to tell us, we already know this, but the Gemara is going to say, and the purpose of which is to get her to confess. Meaning we don't want her to die. If in fact she committed adultery in the room, she's going to die. So basically, what we would like her to do right now is to confess. Putting the wicker basket is going to make her tired. So Tosfos tells us something that we already know, that we all know, and that is try holding any item for an extended period of time. Okay, in other words, picking up any item and putting it down, that's easy, but you know, hold it there for a while. And that's what Tosfos says. Haisa nesuna ayada, second Tosfos on the second parak. Share haisa nesuna ayada ad gemar kol aseder. Kedesh shetachzor v'toda. So she held it the whole time. So it wears her down. And now the Mishnah steps back and discusses menachos in general versus the unusual nature of this particular mincha. Kol menachos tchilas v'sofa b'kli sharis. When it comes to all menachos, so it starts in the kli sharis and it ends in the kli sharis. V'zut tchilas b'kfifa mitzvah v'sofa b'kli sharis. This, however, this mincha starts in the wicker basket and it ends in the kli sharis. Kol menachos tu'uno shemen v'lavona. All the menachos require oil and lavona. Lavona is a spice. It's translated as frankincense. It's a specific spice that goes on top of most menachos, except for this one. Vizu in eterno lo shem v'lo lavona. The mincha that's offered by the sota does not have oil and does not have lavona. Does not have frankincense. Kol menachos baos menachitim. Most, almost all menachos come from wheat. Vizu ba menasa orim. And this comes from barley. Now there's one other mincha, we talked about this, where there's one other mincha that comes from barley. The Mishnah notes, mincha sa'omer. Now on the second day of Pesach, there is a mincha that's brought, it's the mincha sa'omer. We unfortunately don't bring the mincha anymore, we haven't done so for the last 2,000 years, but obviously we know about it because that's when we start counting the sphere sa'omer. Sphere sa'omer is counted from when the carbon omer is brought. So, afa pisha ba mincha sa'orim, he haisa ba'a geres. Now it's true that that the omer comes from barley, but it's ground up into fine flour. Vizu ba kemak. However, the barley offering offered by the sota is coarse. It's meal. Rabbi Gamliel omer kishim shemaseh masa behema kach karbana meichel behema. And generally speaking, they would take coarse barley and they would feed it to the animals. Makes you wonder how cholim became so popular. So they take the barley and they feed it to the animals, and because she behaved in such an animalistic way, so that's what the Torah is intimating to us when the Torah tells us that she gets the special mincha made up of barley. The Gemara starts off, Tanya, Abba Chanin Omer Mishum Rabbi Lazar Kedei Liyaga Kedei Shetachzor Ba. So the reason why we're trying to wear her down is to try to get her to make an admission, and to get her. And once she makes an admission, so im kacha chasa Torah al over ritzona kavachamer al osei ritzona. Now, basically, what the Torah wants to do is spare her life. Meaning, if she admits it, what's then going to happen? She's good. Meaning, she won't be drinking. When I say good, meaning she'll be alive. Right, she won't be drinking the mesota. She won't die a gruesome death. She'll be alive, and she'll get to live. Now, of course, with the admission of her impropriety, so now she is a suffolk vadai. She's also to her husband. She's going to have to get a divorce. All that's true, and it's terrible ramifications. But she'll get to live. Okay. So the Gemara says, and Akash Baruch Hu has rachmanas on that woman. Now imagine. a person who does not behave in an improper manner, right? Al osei ritzono, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that person to live. I quoted the pasuk recently, Yakar Beinei Hashem Hamavsal Chasidav. Right, it's difficult for Kadosh Baruch Hu to take the Chasidim and take him away from this earth. Okay. So the Gemara says now, although the conclusion is beautiful, the Gemara says maybe there's another motivation. Maybe the reason why we're trying to get her to confess is so that we don't take the klaf that we wrote, include it in the klaf is Shem Hashem, and we put it in the water and we erase Shem Hashem. Maybe Gemara is suggesting now, again, not to, the idea is nice, but maybe the real motivation is just simply so that we can prevent erasing Shem Hashem. So the Gemara says, no, that is not the conclusion. Kasavar, mashkev achar kach makrev es minchasa. Because the author of our Mishnah is of the opinion that first you mashke, and then afterwards you makrev minchasa. So in other words, the erasing has already been done. So now there's only one benefit that comes out from the admission, and that is is to find out whether she did or she didn't. Now, what about the fact that she drank the water already? Isn't she going to blow up? So Rashi says that if you subscribe to this viewpoint, she's not going to blow up until after the mincha is being offered. And if she admits it, she could still save herself. So you see that according to our Mishnah, the only gain that you get from admission is only going to be to save herself, and therefore the conclusion is in fact sound that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants her an opportunity to save her life. So the Megillah has already been erased, so there's only one option left. Okay, this machlokus of what the procedure is and the order of the procedure, order of operations, it's coming up in a couple days from now. So when we get to the Gemara, we'll discuss it in greater detail. Kol menachos raminu, seder hamenachos ketzad. So here we go, first perek Tosefta in menachos, and we're going to do some basic. We're going to learn some basics regarding the mincha, the carbon mincha. Adam even mincha besoch beisa beklaser shel kesef vishel zahav. So this Tosefta is giving us the very basics of a mincha, meaning we're not talking about a sota. We're talking about you and I bringing a carbon mincha to the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? So we take flour and we put it from our house, and we put it in baskets made up of gold and silver. Okay, silver and gold. And then what happens is that we get to the Beis HaMikdash, it's then placed into a klisharis. Umikacha beklisharis, and it becomes kadosh in a klisharis. Okay, soon enough I'm going to explain what exactly that means, that it becomes kadosh in the klisharis. And then after being placed in the klisharis, then oil and frankincense is added. It's brought to the kohen. The kohen then presents it to the mizbech. It is then made contact. The bowl is made contact with the southwest corner of the mizbech. And again, chudosh karen. Right up to the edge of the corner of the mizbech, v'dayom, and that's enough. Umisalek es halavona, letzad echad, and then the lavona, which is this, I guess, very coarse spice that's on the top of the mincha, is pushed off to the side. V'komitz mimakom shenizrabish meina, and then what the kohen is going to do is kmitza, going to take his hand, put it into the flour offering, and take a fistful out, not the thumb, not the pinky, the three middle fingers are going to be pressed against the palm of his hand, and that is a komitz. V'noso soch klisharis, umikacha beklisharis, and then takes the comics and puts it into a second klisharis. And remember, we talked about this recently, the parallel between the carbon and the mincha. The carbon has four basic avoda points, right? The shechita, the kabbalas adam, the holacha, and the zrikas adam. So by a mincha, it's the same four points as well, obviously translated over to a mincha, to a flower offering, but the kamitza is the shechita. The kabbalas adam is taking the komets and putting it into a second klisharis, which we're reading about right now in the brisa. And the third is going to be the holacha, although truth of the matter is you're already right by the mizbech. But then there's a holacha, and then the offering of the komets on top of the mizbech, that's tantamount to the zrikas adam. Anyway, mekashe b'klisharis. And you collect the lavona. and you put it on top. And then you put it and you're makdir in a klisharis and you salt it and you take the comments and you put it on top of the fire of the mizbeach. Once the comments is offered on the top of the mizbeach, now the remaining part of the mincha, the shirayim, are eaten or consumed by the kohanim in the azara. It's Kadosh Kadoshim. The Rashaim Kohanim Litel Asocha Yam V'Shemun Dvash. Now, what can the Kohanim put in this flour offering to make it taste a little bit better? So the Mishnah says, whatever they like, a little bit of wine, a little bit of oil, a little bit of honey, it's all good. Ve'in Asur Me'ela Mel Chametz. The only thing they can't do is allow it to become chametz. Right, there's an Isser Chametz by a Mincha. Again, with every rule, there's exceptions. There is an exception to the rule. There is one carbon that's offered as Chametz, a couple, I think. But the on Shavuos, the Mincha there is Chametz, and I think the Karban Todah. I think the Karban Todah has 10 of its loaves are Chametz. Okay, I think those are the exceptions. Katanimia, okay. Anyway, Adkan. Divrei HaBraisa. And we quoted this Braisa because we would like to just compare notes. We saw a Braisa giving us the basic information regarding a Mincha, and we saw our Mishnah in the first Mishnah, the second parak of Sota, giving us the very basic information of a Mincha, contrasting what a regular Mincha looks like and what the Sota Mincha looks like. And now we compare. Okay, classic Gemara. We look at a Mishnah, we look at a Tosefta, and we're comparing notes. Ketani mia beklato shel kesef beklato shel zahav. In the Tosefta, it said that when the mincha is initially placed into a basket, it said a gold basket, a silver basket. What did our Mishnah say? It immediately goes into klisharis. Again, not the mincha sota, the regular mincha. Our Mishnah says, unlike the mincha sota, it goes directly into klisharis. Amar Papa Ema Bekelem Haru Uyim Leklisharis. Okay, so the Gemara gives an answer, and it's a very simple answer, and that is that our Mishnah and the Tosefta are in agreement. It just means that we're putting it in a basket that at least is fit for a klisharis. So, in other words, the basket, the golden and silver basket that the Balabas is bringing from his house is not a klisharis, which parenthetically, of course, makes perfect sense. It's not in the base of Mikdash, but at least it could be a klisharis. That's what our Mishnah means, and now it's in alignment with the Tosefta. Mechlal dekfifa mitzvah slo chazia. Now, what does that indicate? That the Sota, when she originally puts a mincha, she puts it in a wicker basket. And that must mean that a wicker basket cannot become a klisharis. Now that's fine. However, there is one opinion that says that wood can be used; it can be made into a klisharis. Kamandalok Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Detanya klisharis shasan shal eitz. If I made a klisharis out of wood, Rabbi Posel, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. So machlokas tanaim whether a wood utensil can become a klisharis. Rabbi says it can't, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says it can. So, a little bit of a kasha, because our Mishnah says that the Sota puts her mincha initially into a wicker/wooden basket, and meanwhile, that can't become a klisharis, and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says wood can become. So the Gemara says, Afilatem Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Eim Adam Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda b'chashuvim. When Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says that wood can become a klisharis, it has to be nice wood, made into a nice utensil. However, b'pechusim miyamar, but even he would not allow a wicker basket to be used. The Gemara is rhetorically, you know, in general, when you offer a carbon, it's got to be nice. The whole thing's got to be nice. Is it something that you would offer to your governor? If the answer is no, then you would certainly not offer it in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that even Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda would agree that the wicker basket cannot be used. Placed into a klisharis and sanctifying a klisharis. From the description that's given, it sounds like it's a two-step process. The physical placement and then the intent. Shamas mina klisharis mekashin ala midas. So it sounds like from our Gemara that even when you put something into a klisharis, you still need kavana. That's what it sounds like from the Braisa. And once again, this touches on another fundamental machlokus: is a klisharis mekadesh instantaneously. In other words, it's just a natural procedure. It goes in, therefore becomes Kaddish, or no? It goes in, and you need intent. Sounds like from our Braisa, you need intent. Eman knows not b'klisharis, li kaddisha b'klisharis. So the Gemara says, no. It goes into a klisharis, so that the klisharis is mekaddish. It's not really two steps, it's really one procedure. Let's discuss now, because we have Rashi right here. Let's discuss. It goes into a klisharis, and what? Meaning, and what's the big deal once I take the flour and move it from the vessel that was brought from the house and now place it into a klisharis? So what? So the Rashi points out, this is basic ideas regarding kachim. Rashi writes, I'm reading Rashi. Shehanos nabahem tzarech sheyisnu l'shem kach. V'im tomar hare mincha kedusha v'omenesh shekdisha bepeh kedushas peh. So Rashi says it goes into a klisharis, and what's the big deal? You know, when the owner of this flour offering took the flour from his house, he sanctified the flour. He said, this flour is going to be brought from my mincha offering. So what changes now? What's this big deal? Why are we making such a fuss that it goes into a klisharis? So Rashi writes, Ella, kedusha, I'm sorry, shekdisha bepeh kedushas peh, ain't all that kedushas damen. Because when you're makdisha bepeh, it only has kedushas damen, it only has value kedusha. Ve'enu kedusha taguf, but not intrinsic kedusha. Only when it goes into the klisharis is it given kedusha taguf. And what does that mean? So Rashi goes over a number of basic nafkaminas. Ainan ifsels betful yom, prior to being put into a klisharis, if a tful yom, somebody who was tamei, tovel in the mikvah, waiting for herif shemesh, he has a little bit of residual tumah. If he touches the flour prior to being placed into klisharis, it's not tamei. If he touches the flour after it was placed into klisharis, it now becomes disqualified. Uvelina, another basic nafkamina. When I have an object placed into a klisharis, it now becomes subject to the psul of lina. That means that if it stays overnight, the next day it becomes disqualified. The flour, prior to being put in the klisharis, can stay overnight, the next night, it's not going to be become disqualified. But now once it's placed into klisharis, the object is on the clock. By the end of today, it must be used. If not, it's disqualified. Next, v'imnitnes niftes. Prior to being placed into klisharis, it's redeemable because it only has kedushas damim. In fact, that's the very nature, the very definition of kedushas damim. It is, in fact, redeemable. If it becomes tamei, someone could redeem it. However, once it's placed into klisharis and now it's kedushas guf, non-redeemable. Kacha b'kli, kicha kedushas guf, nifsels b'tvul yom, uvelina, ve'ein la pijon. Once it puts into a klisharis, subject to the psul of tvul yom. B, subject to lina. If it stays overnight, it becomes disqualified. And C, it's at this point in time non-redeemable. Back to our just very basic information. ABCs of kedusha saguf. V'nosen alei shmana ulevonta. You put on top of it oil and levona. Again, we're talking about now the generic mincha, not the one of the sota. Shenema v'yatzek alei shema v'nosen alei levona. And the Gemara now just is going through the Pesukim, the sources for these halachas. Omolicha etzel kohen is brought to a kohen dechsiv ve'evi ala b'nei Aaron. V'kohen molicha etzel mizbech, and the kohen brings it to the mizbech dechsiv v'gisha etzel mizbech. Migisha b'keren jorom is marav, it's keneged chuda shel keren vidayo. It's brought to the corner, the southwest corner of the mizbech. Min nalan, and why the southwest corner? Dechsiv. The Torah says, v'zos torah samincha akrev osa b'nei Aaron lefnei Hashem al p'nei mizbech. You bring it, the Bnei Aaron bring it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the face of the Mizbeach. V'tani lifnei Hashem yachol b'ma'arav. I might have thought that should go to the west because it says lifnei Hashem. And again, if you have a good visualization of the Azara, the temple courtyard, so you know that the western side of the Mizbeach is the one facing the actual Beis HaMikdash. So the conclusion would have been that the Torah says lifnei Hashem should be on the west side of the Mizbeach. Tam alam b'nei Mizbeach. It's the face of the Mizbeach. The face of the Mizbeach is the south. Why is that called the face of the Mizbeach? Because the south is where the ramp is, and that allows you entrance to the top of the Mizbeach. It's an access point. So now I would have thought, okay, so bring the mincha to the south. Oh yeah, but the Torah also says lifnei Hashem. Hakeitzad. So the easiest resolution, the obvious resolution, megisha bekeren dromis. My rav is keneged chudash keren v'dayo. So you bring it to the southwest corner, and that will be sufficient. Rabbi Elazar Amar Yachol Yigishan ben my rav shel keren ola droma shel keren. Rabbi Elazar says I might have thought that you should bring it either to the west or to the south. Amar komakum shatamos. If the Torah gives you two options, option A allows the fulfillment of both psukim. Option B does not allow you fulfillment of both psukim. Menichim she mekayim atzmo mevato chavero, betovsen she mekayim atzmo umekayim chavero. So therefore, given the two options, obviously, the choice should be the one pasuk that satisfies itself and its neighboring pasuk. Keshata omer lefnei Hashem b'ma'arav b'talta p'nei mizbech b'darom. When it says lefnei Hashem, that's the west. The problem is that it negates p'nei hamizbech, because p'nei hamizbech is itself. Kishat omer p'nei hamizbech b'darom kiyamta lefnei Hashem. However, if I place the mincha in the south, so A, I'm fulfilling the pasuk of lifnei mizbeach. I'm sorry, penei hamizbeach, because the south is penei hamizbeach, and I'm also satisfying the pasuk of lifnei Hashem. Ben marav haketsa megishla droma shel keren. And so, what am I going to do? I'm going to put it on the south side of the mizbeach. Obviously, he argues with the previous opinion with the Tanakama. Vehechen kiyamtam. Now the Gemara says, now that's interesting. You put it in the south. How is that lifnei Hashem? Meaning, I understand that's penei hamizbeach, but how is that lifnei Hashem? Okay, so the Gemara says very simple. Because remember, where do I put the mizbeach in the Azara? Moving target. So there are various opinions exactly where the mizbeach is situated. Where's my picture? It's right behind me. Okay, so if you look at the picture over here, you'll find it's kind of centered. The Gemara says that this opinion, Rav Elazar, has the entire Mizbeach in the north. I know, it's upside down. So it has it in the north. So because now it's in the north, so if I put the Mizbeach, if I put the Mincha on the southern side, it will both be Penei HaMizbeach on the southern side, and also facing the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara says, good. And that's how I fulfill both. My Vidayo. Now, the Brisa said, I bring it to the southwest corner, and that's enough. And what does that mean? I'm Rav Mincha Gufa. I might have thought that I should do Hagasha to the actual Mincha itself. Meaning the bowl is not enough. Kamash Malan, Ve'emachinam, the Gemara says, oh, no, I like that Havamina. That was a good Havamina. I'm a Kravi, Krivu, Ela Koin, Vihigishol, Mizbech. Ma Kravi, it's a Koin, Bekli, Avagasha, it's a Mizbech, Bekli. So the Gemara has a, what do you want to call it, a Hekish, a Gzera Shava, but the Gemara has a Limud, let's call it a Limud. The Gemara has a Limud that says that just like by the Koin, it's in a Kli, so too by the Mizbech, it's in a Kli as well. You don't have to physically take the Mincha out and have a contact between the actual mincha and the mizbeach. It's enough if the kli touches the mizbeach. Okay, Ad Kan, we'll stop over here. Okay, again, today we finished the Agadata regarding all the Mida Keneged Mida, and the Gemara Ilah today talked about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu and imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some very basic Gemaras coming up at the end of the first parak of Sota. And then we started the second parak, and right now we're really learning Mincha 101, right? Menachos 101. The very basics of how to bring a carbon mincha, because in order to contrast the mincha of the sota to a regular mincha, you got to know what a regular mincha looks like. Yes, there's an entire masechta dedicated to this topic, but today we spent a little bit of time talking about the basics of a mincha. Stop over here. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Matzikosh Baruch Hu Zachu Sofich Achir Ben Tzor Mitzvah Shenemar Nachavitz Matzikoh Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.